Welcome everyone to Tendo Pop, a podcast where we talk about all games and movies and TV shows related to Nintendo. I am your host, Trainer T. What is going on? It's been a while. I haven't actually been able to record the next episode for about almost a month now, and I feel terrible. I'm so sorry, guys. Pretty much what's happened is I've been really, really sick. Since the last episode I recorded, I was actually quite sick, and ever since, I've been, like, really sick. I haven't been able to scratch this sickness, and I've been to the doctors plenty of times, and they're still trying to figure out what's wrong with me. I am a problem child. but yeah, apart from that though, it's been a struggle, guys. It's been such a struggle. I've been struggle streeting because I've been working full time. My job's been really hectic at the moment, being at the start of the year. And along with that, you know, I've been trying to push through Pokemon Auras, and it's been really hard to actually, when I come back from home, you know, I've got the kids to look after and then, you know, give attention to my wife and because, you know, the deeds of a family man is, it never ends. So the time that I actually get when I can just sit down and play Pokemon is little to none. So I do my best to push forward, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna do it. I did finish the main quest for Pokemon Auras, which is good. I've just got a little bit more to do. I'm loving recapping this whole game because, like I've said before, Hoenn is my homeland, and being able to go back there in this beautiful remake really reminds me of how amazing this game is. But yeah, so I'm almost finished with that. And this podcast today, we aren't talking about Auras. We are talking about Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie. Now, a lot of you already may know, and for those who don't know, I am a massive Sonic fan. So my history with Sonic is very big, very, very big. The first game that I ever played, I think I was 10, and it was Sonic Adventure DX on the PC. And that was my first adventure with Sonic, and I fell in love instantly. All my friends were playing it. It was very popular at school. Everyone was talking about it, and I needed the game, so my friend let me borrow it, and I was like, no, I have to buy it for myself. So I went and bought it for myself, and I loved it. I fell in love with Sonic ever since then. I never knew what the last story was until I bought Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. So I had a GameCube, and the first game that I ever bought, it was one of the first games that I ever bought with my own money, was Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on the GameCube. And my friend had Sonic Heroes, and we were playing through it together, and we were like, man, these stories are amazing. But we had no idea what the last story was, or even if it existed. So we were going through this adventure, and we were just like, oh yeah, you know, we finished the game, that's great. And then all of a sudden this thing popped up, and I'm just like, man, what is this? And then I was going through it, and I got on the phone to my friend as soon as the Bio Lizard comes through, and I'm like, dude, this like massive crocodile alien thing is like battling me. And I was like, nope, I ain't gonna beat this, no way. It was like the hardest. I needed him to actually come over, and it took us so long to get through it. Us as little kids, little trooper Sonic fans trying to beat the game, it was great. And then once I saw Super Sonic, I was done. My little mind was exploded. I didn't even know Sonic could go to this extreme, and he did. And then we found out in my friend's game that you could do the exact same thing, and we were just flabbergasted. So yeah, ever since, Sonic's been a major part of my life. I've played every single Sonic game. I've I've collected so much stuff. You know, actually, fun fact, when Sonic Generations came out, I bought the collector's edition, and you couldn't actually buy it around the world. It was very rare to actually find this collector's edition in certain countries, and Australia was one of them that got one of the couple thousand that were actually created. And I didn't know it at the time. I was like, oh, how old was I? I was like 15 or 16 at the time. I was still in high school, which is, I don't know what it's for you guys, but high school is pretty much like, yeah, I was 15 or 16, so you can do the math. So yeah, I think it's like middle school maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, I was only still quite young. I didn't understand, like, you know, like the whole rare gaming kind of thing. And anyway, I opened this box and there's a gold ring in it. So it came with a statue, an art book, and a gold ring, and like a CD and stuff. It was pretty cool. And the gold ring had like a number out of a certain amount of thousands. And I was just like, oh, maybe that's just like the digit code. No, there's only a couple thousand of these things out there, and I have one of them. And I was like, oh, what? I can't actually see it. I don't know where I've put it, and I'm having an anxiety attack because I'm like, where is it? But yeah, it's somewhere. It's somewhere in this office. And yeah, so that was a big moment for me. I love Sonic Unleashed. I was a big fan of Sonic 06. Yes. Okay. So I was a massive fan of Sonic 06. Everyone hated it, but I loved it. I was a really terrible kid. When I was 13, when Sonic 06 came out, I didn't have an Xbox to play it on, but I really wanted the game. And I used to mow my grandfather's lawn so I could earn some cash. And he was the sort of guy that would be like, give you a couple $100 for just mowing his lawn. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I couldn't afford to get an Xbox, but I did end up buying the game because I'm like, if I buy the game, at least I know I've got the game. And so I bought the game, and I'm like, to my mum, I'm like, oh, I bought this game, but I can't play it. And she's like, oh, that's no good. I'm like, yeah, I was really looking forward to it, but then I realized, oh, I can't play it. So my mum was nice enough to be like, okay, let's save up for this Xbox. And eventually, you know, a couple months time, she bought me the Xbox, and I was finally able to play Sonic 06. I was so obsessed with playing this game that I would watch YouTube videos constantly. I would pretend outside to jump around like Sonic in these stages, and like I'd even make stick pivot animations of him moving around and doing stuff. Like, that's how obsessed I was. So obsessed. People hated this game. Me as a kid, I loved it, and I still love it to this day. Sonic 06 has a special place in my heart, and that'll never change. So when this movie came around, this interesting movie, Sonic the Hedgehog, I was like, oh man, okay, Sonic is happening in a movie. Sonic hasn't been doing too well the last couple of years. We've had a lot of letdowns, and just all out in general hasn't been very good. Sorry. So, you know, we got the first trailer, and oh my goodness, it was very cringy. And I'm like, yep, Sonic hasn't changed, and this movie's going to be a flop. All I could think of was all those, like, mediocre live-action, like, movies of, like, cartoons and stuff that were just so bad that they had, like, negative ratings. No positive, just complete negative. It was like, Sonic's going to be a meme now. He was already meme, but he's going to be meme-er. So everyone on Twitter was just like, no, this is not going to work. This is going to be terrible. At least with Detective Pikachu, it was a good film. So, Sonic's done. Let's pack the bags, put the nail in the coffin, so to speak. Sonic's done. But you know what happened? They listened. For once, for so many years, they did not listen, but finally they listened, and they're like, nah, you know, this is a big moment for any kind of industry. If you've had a character that's been alive for 30 odd years, having a blockbuster movie is a huge thing, because this is high-end industry. You've got people who have never touched a game in their life watching this movie. And, you know, that it's a big thing for Sonic. And so they obviously saw that and they were like, right, we've got to do something. We've got to change something up. We got to fix Sonic, so to speak. So they took a couple months away. The movie was supposed to already be released, but obviously it wasn't, because they had to fix him. Very interested as to what they were going to do. And by all means, there was no disappointment, because he looked beautiful. He was a cute blue hedgehog that we all love. Not so cartoony, but, you know, had that still nice realistic look. You know, I love what they did with his eyes. I was always very, everyone had their sort of bits and pieces about him. Mine was the fact that he has one eye, and you can't say he doesn't, because his eye meets in the middle and it goes all the way around like goggles. And so I was like, how are they going to do that? Like, if they're going to try and go original, how are they going to do it? And they replaced it with just a little bit of white fur. And I really liked that. I was like, okay. I can deal with that. I can deal with that. So, that was a good tidbit. I really liked that. When I heard his voice, I was a little bit like, It took me such a long time to get used to Roger Craig Smith as Sonic, because I was always like, you know, I grew up with Jason Griffith as Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, Sonic X, Sonic 06, Sonic Unleashed, Sonic Generations. Wait, hold on. Did Sonic Generations have Jason Griffith? I have no, I can't remember. Anyway, so yeah, I loved Jason Griffith, and yeah, I was a little bit like, to begin with. But we'll get to that later. The movie was finally coming around and I was like, no, I've got to go watch it. And obviously I wanted to make a honest review and just talk about this, the little bits and pieces from this movie that I really liked or just really thought it was weird. we'll jump into that. But I hope you're all doing pretty good. It's been a bit of time since I last did my podcast. I know I was supposed to be doing them more regularly, and I'm really sorry that I haven't been. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge getting these episodes out. Is really hard to actually sit by a couple of hours to record. That's the hardest part. Recording is really a struggle, because when I get home, I'm so tired. And obviously I want to speak in a way that my head's not mushy and stuff. So yeah, I've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up soon, and I'll talk about it at the end of this podcast. But yeah, let's get to it. I went last week to go see it. It was Valentine's Day, I think. No, it was the day before Valentine's Day. Yeah. And I took my daughter to see it, because the movie came out the day before. Everyone else got to see it, obviously, because I live in Australia. And yeah, I thought it was really cute. It was a really cute little date with my daughter. It was the first time that she's gone to the movies. And let me tell you now, she's obsessed with Sonic the Hedgehog. She's that newer generation. She's only like two and a half. But she loves Sonic Boom. She's obsessed with Sonic Boom. She watches it constantly. She loves Sonic X. And she just loves Sonic. Sonic, Tails, Knuckles. Yeah, she loves them all. She loves Sticks, but I can't stand Sticks. Ugh, it's very cringy. And so, yeah, I took her. We walked in and she saw, like, the big Sonic statue. And, oh, my goodness, her little brain was, like, exploding. She was like, it's Sonic! And I was like, okay, we'll go take a photo, Nora. So we ended up taking a photo, and she loved it. It was really cool. It was really cute. And went to the arcade, and then we went and started to watch the movie. And I was expecting to have a lot of people there, but to my surprise, there wasn't a lot of people. It was, the movie theater was quite empty, to be honest, for opening night. Actually, no, it opened at 10 a.m. and we went at night. We went and saw it at 7. So yeah, it could have been packed during the morning, but I would have thought that showing would have been packed, but there wasn't a lot of people in there. So yeah, I just thought it was a little bit weird, but I didn't mind. It was easier for me to sort of, yeah, get through it and stuff, and for my daughter and stuff. So, and then the movie started, I loved this little bit in the start of the movie where the Paramount intro happens and you see rings flying through. You usually see letters or something like, or stars are flying through over the mountain, but it was rings and they had like that iconic ring sound. It was beautiful. And then you see classic Sonic running, and then like it pans out to different Sonic games and different Sega games, and then it turns to the Sega logo to, you know, represent that Sega style. And then the movie starts and we're in San Francisco. I should note before I start this, I'm so sorry, if you have not seen the movie, I suggest that you don't listen to this. Go see the movie and then listen to this, because this will have spoilers in it. So you have been warned. Okay, continuing. Right. So, you see San Francisco, beautiful San Francisco, and then Eggman's, chasing Sonic. You assume it's Eggman. You've seen his new, Eggmobile, although I wouldn't call it an Eggmobile anymore. It's more like an egg jet. And he's running around chasing Sonic, and he's blasting at Sonic, and Sonic's trying to escape him, which is usually the other way around, but anyway, and then, oh, okay, this is where it starts. This is where I was just like, okay, this is supposed to be a funny movie. This has got all the bits and pieces of, you know, different memes and stuff like that. They've clearly been looking at different videos and stuff that people do on the internet, and then it freezes, and then Sonic goes, you're probably wondering why I got myself into this situation. And then, oh, I can't remember everything he says, but he says, like, oh, you know, let's just back it up a bit, and I'll explain everything that went down. And so it does that rewind thing, and then you see Green Hill Zone, and oh my goodness, nostalgia hit. Yes, this was amazing. Seeing Green Hill Zone in this beautiful, like, we've seen many different versions, maybe too many versions of Green Hill Zone, but this live-action high graphic look of Green Hill Zone was beautiful, and it was really difficult because obviously I can't pause it to see the different shots, but I loved it. It was really good. Then you see baby Sonic like running around, and he's doing some kind of, you know, spin dashes, and he's talking what do they call it? A monologue, I think. Yeah. And then, this is interesting. He says he has secret powers. So he refers to his super speed and all the stuff that he can do, like the spin dash and everything, as a secret power. Like, I always thought that Sonic was just naturally super fast and stuff. Like, it wasn't a power, it was just like a natural thing. Like birds flying, it's a natural thing. I always thought it was just a thing for Sonic, but apparently it's a secret power. And in this movie, we find out a lot of stuff that we didn't know about Sonic. So they created this whole origin story for him. And I would honestly love to see more of this. I would love to hear more of this and see more of it, because I was really fascinated for it. And unfortunately, we don't get to see much of it. He introduces his mentor and refers to it as Obi-Wan. And I was like, okay, so if he's mentioning Obi-Wan, then this world that they're living in is like a... And we see it more. We see more bits and pieces of like stuff that we have in our world that cross-reference other universes or like, you know, superhero movies and Star Wars, obviously. So they've got like Star Wars and all that kind of stuff in that universe. You see Sonic run through and he's trying to keep his power a secret because apparently people are after his power in this world. And then I was like, oh, is it Eggman? Eggman's after his power. And then he runs through this like house hut kind of thing, like this tree house. And then you see this owl. And apparently this owl has been raising Sonic since he was a little baby. And I was like, man, who's that owl? And I thought, is that the owl? If you've guys seen it, there's a OMV, I think it's an OMV, of Sonic versus Metal Sonic, and it's like a cartoon, Sonic Boom style, and there's an owl on there. And I thought, maybe that's like a reference to that owl. I didn't know that. I don't know the whole story of it, but I thought maybe that's like a reference to it. I had no idea. The thing is, like, the owl speaking sounds like a female, but the owl in the OMV, I think it's an OMV, yeah, is, a male, so I don't know, I have no idea. And then Sonic's there, bought a flower for this owl, and then all of a sudden, this tribe of people that we saw in a trailer and many spoilers that happened pop up. And then I was waiting for it, and yes, I saw it. It was the Knuckles tribe. They're all echidnas, and they all look like Knuckles, except they're wearing fancy costume, like tribal costumes, and they're trying to kill Sonic. And she's like, you've got to escape, and then you find out that the rings can actually be used as portals, which have never been the case before. And then, well, actually, no, that's a lie, because in Sonic 3 and Sonic 2, I think, you can use the rings, big rings, as a portals to the secret stages. So maybe that's a reference to that. But we see that she uses normal rings to throw them up, and you can go to other worlds if you just think of them. So she goes to transport Sonic, but then they break in, and then that she was like, try to escape. She flies off with Sonic, and then the tribe's chasing them and shooting arrows, and the arrow actually hits the owl, and the owl's pretty much almost dead. So she throws Sonic into this new world and, you know, protects him and distracts his tribe, and then Sonic tries to race after her and misses, and obviously this owl girl lady dies, and Sonic's very upset because obviously he's all alone in this new world he has no idea about. And then we flash forward to a couple years later. I can't remember how many years it was, but it's just a couple years later, and Sonic's doing his little monologue thing where he's talking about what he's doing now and how he's just toying around with this dude who's a cop, and his name is Thomas Wazowski. And we see a lot of Thomas Wazowski, and he's an underappreciated cop who is on the road just checking the speedo for cars that are non-existent on this road. And he finds a turtle on this road and starts shooting at the turtle, and then all of a sudden, you know, like something flashes by and he's just like, hold on, 700 miles per hour? What? This is crazy. It must be not working right. And then you see Sonic jump on the car and he's like toying around with this guy. He's like obviously trolling this dude. He's like having the time of his life. He's like, you know, obviously I don't want you to know I exist, but I can still play around with you because I'm super fast. And this guy's like, huh? And anyway, so he drives off and then you see the turtle there. And Sonic's like, oh, cute little guy. And he's just like, you want to be fast, don't you? And so he just picks up the turtle and starts running at the speed of sound. This turtle would be dead. You run at that speed, man, that turtle's flesh and bones just gonna it's just gonna leave. It'll turn to mush. That it would not be able to handle it. It's so funny, but I love the way they directed it, because they started playing the Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, and this turtle's like smiling, having the time of his life. And then Sonic drops the turtle and he's just like, oh crap. And he just like quickly runs back and catches it and puts it down. And this turtle's like shaking. It could not handle it. It was so scared, but it had the time of its life. I loved it. That was the best. It was so funny. As Sonic goes back to his little tree stump, which is like in the underground, like a badger's barrow or something like that. And I thought this was really interesting, because I was like, is this a reference to Sonic Underground? Like, you know, remember like with Sally and all them, and how they in the cartoon they lived in like this underground barrow kind of thing. I thought that's a good reference right there, because that show was very underappreciated. I didn't watch a lot of it, but yeah, it's very popular. And in the comics as well, it's there too. We can't forget about the comics, because they were a big highlight for Sonic. We see once again different universes where Sonic's reading the Flash comics, obviously, because, you know, the Flash is super speedy, just like Sonic. And he's saying that he's having the time of his life, and he loves toying around with people. He knows Thomas, and he calls him the Donut Lord, because he talks to donuts, and if they don't listen to him, he eats them like some sociopath. Imagine watching that. You'd be like commanding donuts. That's such a typical like cop move right there. I don't know what to say. And then he calls his wife, Thomas Wazowski's wife, I can't remember her name, but we'll call her Pretzel Girl. I think it's Pretzel Girl, yeah. Calls her Pretzel Lady or something like that. And then like he's trying to copy her yoga. And then Okay, this guy, forget about anything I ever said. This guy is the main star of this movie, and I would love to see an adaptation of this guy, and just this guy only, because this guy just needs to have his own thing. Crazy Carl. Crazy Carl is the best guy in this movie. He is the best thing that ever happened to this movie. As soon as he turned up, I was like, you know what? This guy needs his own movie. Forget about everyone else. Forget about Sonic. Forget about Eggman. Forget about everyone else. This guy needs his own movie. Crazy Carl is the meme of this movie. Oh my goodness. When I saw Sonic and his drawing, I nearly died. I was like, it was hard for me to write this down and then not want to like just die. It was the best thing ever. Crazy Carl is this movie. So Sonic Team, Sega, Paramount, if you're listening to this, you need this to happen. Crazy Carl needs to happen. He needs to be on top, own adaption. It's gonna happen. So Sonic mentions that nobody knows he exists, but for the reason of the owl, the mystical owl that told him not to let anyone know, otherwise they might hurt him. And then Sonic's runs off to a baseball game where he watches everyone, you know, kids playing baseball, and he's like frothing from the mouth. He really wants to jump in and play, obviously, because he's seeing all the fun they're having. The kids are like, you know, winning, they're high-fiving each other, all this kind of stuff's happening, and then it turns to nighttime, and Sonic starts playing baseball by himself, and because he's so fast, he can, like, you know, run around and pretend, you know, he's got, like, 10 personalities. We'll call this Sonic the Split movie. And then a really sad moment happens. This was pretty deep. I was like, I stopped for a second. I'm like, oh man, poor little guy. I felt really sorry for Sonic. He was like, yeah, he won against himself, and obviously that's gonna happen. And then he goes to high five someone, but nobody's there, and I know what that feels like. No, well I do, but. he gets really upset because he wants people to know he exists, but he can't because he needs to protect himself, and he starts getting really upset, and so he starts running around the play field on this baseball ground, and he goes faster and faster and faster. I was gonna mention, like, if he's gone so fast, why isn't he creating, like, impact in the dirt where it's, like, actually digging in? But it the movie answered it for me, because he ran faster and it started to happen, and I'm like, yep, there it is. And he goes so fast and he gets so upset that he creates this massive sonic boom where he just blows up everything, and this massive wave of intense speed and speed of sound and sonic, obviously, yeah, a sonic boom just cuts out all the power in this town. And then people are like, oh, what's going on? And the government's like, oh, right. So if this isn't, if this isn't terrorists or anything like that, it's some sort of, you know, alien technology. We need a scientist out there to figure out what's going on. And they find out that the only person that can actually do this is a guy named Robotnik, and they're like, please don't send this guy in, he's a nutbag, this guy cannot handle himself, do not, get someone else, please. And they're like, nah, he's the only guy we can throw in this. So so they're like, right, okay, fine, send in the nutbag, let's go, Eggman. Well, they don't call him Eggman in this movie, they call him Dr. Robotnik. But so they send in Dr. Robotnik. He's got a bunch of vehicles with him, and they go out to this baseball ground where they've already got, like, a bunch of military people, and then, you know, a sergeant just standing around looking around, and then he sees, like, this big bus turn up, and he's like, oh, okay, what's going on? Eggman comes out, Dr. Robotnik, and he looks like a Sith. He looks like a Sith Lord. He walks out in this black and red, and I'm like, what? Okay, and you need to understand that having Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik is a 50-50. He's either gonna screw it up really bad, or he's gonna be really good. So, he walks out, and we've already seen this scene, but the first thing he does is he asks the guy, he's like, I can't remember what he says, but he's just like, are you in charge? And the guy's just like, no, and he's like, and then he's just like, who's in charge? And he's like, it's me. And he keeps, like, cutting him off, and then he's just like, correction, I'm in charge. And then, oh man, the funniest thing, and I keep telling people, like, this is why you have to go see this movie, because this is where it gets really funny, is Jim Carrey's got, like, a good medium between being funny and being serious and being crazy like Dr. Robotnik. He's just like, and forgive me for not saying it word for word, but pretty much this is what went down. He's just like, Do you know what happens at the end of Charlotte's Web? I'll give you a little hint. Spoiler alert: the spider dies, but he lays. But she lays a sack of spiders, babies at the end, and then he moves back. He raises his hands, and he's got like these robotic gloves and these android flying drone things. Come out of the bus, and then he's just like, look what came out of my egg sack, and oh my goodness, I died. I was just like, yes, this is amazing. It was the best thing ever. He's like, oh man, it was like so funny because he was just talking about, he's robots. And I was, after that, I'm like, nah, this is going to be good. I can't wait to see what else he has in store. This is the start of the movie. We only seen him for like a couple of seconds, a minute max. And this guy's already funny as. And so we cut back into him finding, trying to find Sonic, because, you know, he figures out that there's something around here that's created that Sonic boom, and he needs to find the power of this being. So what he does is he sends his droid drone things out to figure out what's going on, and then one of them finds a footprint. And so he follows the footprint all the way to Thomas Wazowski's place. And then Thomas Wazowski's like, oh, you know, he got offered a job in San Francisco. And so he's going to take it. And then his missus or his wife is already there. I don't know why. And I have no idea what's going on. But she's at her sister's place. And she's like, you should be divorcing that guy real quick. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? And so he hears a sound in the garage or the shed. And this is the moment where the biggest meme of this movie comes alive. Not Crazy Carl, because Crazy Carl's just awesome. So, he grabs a tranquilizer gun, which is his wife's, and she's like, please don't use it. But he's like, I don't care. Very great relationship. I love their communication skills that they have. One says no, the other says I don't care, and says yes. And anyway, so what happens is, he goes into this shed, and then Sonic's about to use his ring to go to another world, because he realizes he's been caught out, and then they look at each other, and then it happens. Sonic's like, meow. Oh my goodness, he said it. He said Amya, and I'm just like, oh, they didn't cut that from the movie. Oh, it was the best. It was the best thing ever. But, you know, it was actually nice to see Sonic look not like a weird Sonic that's been drawn by some ultimate realistic person, artist. And so anyway, he gets shot in the leg, and then Thomas Wazowski, Tom, captures him, and then, you know, Sonic wakes up in the cage and then gets out, and they're talking and they're like, what's going on? And he's just like, you're an alien. No, I'm not. You need to help me. And so Thomas is like, right, okay, let's figure out how to get out of this situation. And, Robotnik. It's going to take me a long time to get rid of that. Robotnik pops up, and he's just like, you are a bad person, because you're holding this, you're holding someone that I need captive. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then he sends in his little drone, and he's about to shoot him, Thomas, and then Sonic pops out, and then Tom punches Robotnik in the face and knocks him out. And then they head off in his truck and go towards San Francisco. And now they're fugitives and everyone's after them. So what happens is they're on the road and I really can't think of what happens at this bit. I'd have no idea. But what happens is they stop at a payphone and Tom is on the phone and explains what's going on. To Pretzel Lady and then gets on the phone to his colleague and then his colleague's like, oh, look, where are you? And then he's just like, I'm on the way, you know, I'm seen as a fugitive. And he's just like, you don't have anyone there, do you? And he's just like, no, okay, maybe yes. And then passes Robotnik over to the phone and then they were like throwing like funny witty comments at each other like, oh, you know, do I need to punch you in the face again or something? And he's just like, ha ha ha, very funny. And then he was explaining that he was bullied as a kid in school and he did something to the kid, like I can't remember what he did. He did something to the kid. And he's just like, does that need to happen to you? And Tom's like, and then hangs up. And then he's like talking to this guy and he's just like, did I do a good job? And he's just like, for a simpleton like you, you just sit there and be you, sless. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was good. I like that. That was good. Sonic, while Tom's on the phone, Sonic sees like a bar. Full of like bikies and they're doing all, you know, stunts and all checking out cars and all that kind of stuff. And he's like hyperventilating in the car. He's like, I need to get here. I need to see this. And so he's finally like, no, okay, I need to go. I need to go and suss this out. So he goes into the bar and he's got like glasses on and a hat on and stuff. And he's just like, yep, okay, this, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And they go in the bar and like Tom's like, oh, where is he? And then he goes in the bar, sees Sonic there. And they're like, let's just sit down, have some food and stuff. And then the lady's like, can I see your ID? And the guy's just like, Tom's like, he's got a rare condition where his skin's blue and he's like really short and looks young, but he's like really old. And then the lady's like, uh-huh. Yeah. You see the quills on Sonic and you're definitely going to be like, yeah, this is an animal. And not only is it an animal, it's an alien. This does not look like a human at all. Like, you're not fooling anyone. This lady obviously needs to get her eyes checked because that's not happening. In fact, nobody picked that up. Nobody would have just like turned around in that bar and would have been like, yeah, that's not a human. That's an animal. Oh, hold on. That's not an animal. That's an alien. Yeah. Okay. That's not normal. And so we see, like, you know, they're talking about bucket lists and, you know, before you... And Sonic's like, what's a bucket list? And Tom's like, you know, before you kick the bucket. And he's like, I've never kicked a bucket. And obviously he didn't know that it meant death. So he's like, I've got to make myself a bucket list. And so he makes himself a bucket list and then he's like, we got to do this all tonight, like right now. And so he's like, they're going through the bar and they're like, you know, doing different stuff like dancing and throwing darts and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then these bikey guys come up to him and they're like, we don't like hipsters in this bar. In this pub. And then Sonic's just like, a hipster? What's a hipster? Oh, I can't remember. He's just like, he says something about a hipster and then they're all like fighting each other and then Sonic's like slows down time and then like he starts like messing around with people. Someone's after, like, this big fat guy's like after him and he puts like a bear helmet on his head and he does like all this funny stuff and then he goes back to normal time and then like everyone just gets KO'd by Sonic and then Sonic's fine and Tom's fine. And so they leave. By this point I wrote a note down saying that I really like Sonic's voice and it was true. I warmed up to Sonic's voice at this point, because I thought, you know, it had a really good tone to it, you know, like there was a really good aspect to Sonic, that I could appreciate. He had like a really good personality, and emotion. I think Ben Schwartz, the guy who did the voice of Sonic, did a really good job. It just took me a second to sort of realize how much I liked it. And so the couple, Tom and Sonic, they go to this hotel and he's like, oh, I'm bored. What can I do? And he says like anything. And so he just goes around and just does heaps of stuff. And then he has a shower and then like comes out and he does like this massive fart. And I'm like, okay, Sonic farts. Right. And then they're like talking and, Tom explains that he's going to be moving to San Francisco. I can't remember if it happens now or in the next scene. But he explains that he's moving and then Sonic's like, you can't leave. You've got people who rely on you and depend on you. And he's like, oh, there's nothing in the town for him. And he's like, yes, there is. And then it cuts to the scene where Eggman shows up, the next day at this, at the pub. And, the fat guy was still there. So the dude that was trying to beat up Sonic, he got his butt whooped, but he stayed there the whole night. Like, what? I don't understand. He's like, is this your home? Do you have nowhere to go, buddy? Like, is this where you make camp and you just... That's really sad, man. That's really sad. Eggman comes up to this guy and he's just like, give me information. He's like, I ain't gonna tell you nothing. And so Eggman, Jim Carrey, Eggman, Robotnik. Oh my goodness, I need to sort myself out. Eggman, Robotnik, I gotta stop saying Eggman, throws this guy. He would be at least over 100 kilos. I don't know how many of that's in pounds, but yeah, over 100 kilos. This guy's massive, like double the size of Eggman, and he throws him through a window. What? Huh? Where is the logic? This guy, like, oh man, Robotnik is like hella buff. This guy's like hella buff. So he throws him through and then like he goes up to his colleague, like, you know, henchman fella and just throat chops him. I'm like, oh my goodness. Robotnik, he can fight. This guy's got some beef in him. Don't mess with him. He's crazy and he's strong. He's his best of both worlds. It cuts to another road trip scene and Sonic's like looking at this rubber band ball touristy site, and then Tom's like, no, we don't have any time for stops, and Sonic's like, yeah, okay, and so he runs off, and he's just like, nah, and then we find out that, what was it, Tom didn't want to take Sonic, or maybe that was before, I don't know, but Tom didn't want to take Sonic to San Francisco, and he's like, you're better off to just go by yourself there, because I'm wanted, so... Yeah, and Sonic's like, you need to help me get my rings, because he lost his rings on the top of a building in San Francisco. And then he's just like, just run north. And Sonic's just like, yeah, okay. Runs right in the Pacific Ocean, right at the bottom. And then, like, he comes back and he's, like, wet and got, you know, all this, like, a fish and a starfish and seaweed all over him. He's like... Do you know how much it stings running through salt water? And then Tom was like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll take you. And then he shakes his hair and he looks like that painter dude, Bob, whatever his name is. And then they're finally like, yeah, woo, road trip. And then they get back in the car. And then Eggman chases them. And... I forgot to mention that Eggman found one of Sonic's quills and kept it. And anyway, Eggman starts chasing him with one of his robots that he created. Yes, reference to the many robots that Eggman does create to try and kill or beat Sonic. And then Sonic's obviously like, right, we're going to die if we don't beat this thing. So he comes through with the spin dash. And yes, it was the first attack we see of Sonic, and it was amazing. Spin dash, this thing destroys it. And he's like, how did you do that? And he's like, I have no idea. And then he jumps back in, but then this robot turns into another robot, gets destroyed, turns into another robot. And you can see, like, the car's getting destroyed, it turns into another robot, till it's finally this little helicopter drone. Takes the top of the car off. I don't know where this thing's drawing its power from to actually create a laser where it's actually cutting through like metal from the car to take this thing off. Like, it's pretty crazy. Eggman's got some good inventions if he's able to create power from that little thing. And then Sonic's just like, we have to destroy this thing. And then what happens? Tom's like, we gotta ditch this thing. And Sonic's like, yeah, ditch me. You seem good at that. And I'm like, oh, mad burn from Sonic. Cause that was good. I like that. Sonic has like this little bomb on him and they're like trying to get rid of the bomb. And then, they're trying to shake it off and Sonic finally gets it off, but then it gets he's too close to the bomb and then it explodes and, hits Sonic. And then, he gets hit by this explosion. And then, Tom's like trying to save Sonic. And so he takes him off to go to Pretzel Lady because she's a vet. And then it cuts to, and I've got, this is my note, Jim Carrey dancing for a minute, and it's pretty much Jim Carrey. Like, he gets ticked off and then he's like, ugh. And then he's just starts dancing, and he's dancing while he's working, and it's the most amazing thing ever. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, Jim Carrey is like, he's a good Eggman. I love this guy. It was really good. And then it cuts to, he's like got the quill and he's like trying to take a bit of material and like the power from it, because he noticed that it was glowing, and he creates like this super speed power to power his machines, and so he stops dancing because he's like minion guy, he's like standing there and he's like, oh, and he's just like, I made you a soy free latte with emu something, egg milk or something. He's just like, I thought you'd like one. And he's just like, of course I'd like you one, I love the way you make them. And I was like, oh yeah, it was pretty funny. It was good. I thought it was funny. And then it cuts to Tom. And he's got Sonic, and he takes it over to Pretzel Lady. They're in San Francisco now, and then Pretzel Lady's sister was like, "Oh hell no, you ain't bringing no rodents up in here." And then they just pretty much ignore her the whole movie. She's like, she's not needed. She's just doesn't exist to these guys. They're like, well, how do we fix this guy? And then, like, Pretzel Lady's like, I don't know. I don't work on aliens. I work on animals. And then they're like, well, why don't you do, like, you know, that cracking salts, you know, whatever your salts. And he's just like, what you do for humans. And then, so she grabs it and cracks the salt, which I don't understand how it works. But apparently it makes you, like, wake up and super hyper, and makes Sonic wake up and super hyper, and Sonic meets Pretzel Lady and knows her, and she's like, huh, you know me? And he's like, yeah, I've known you for a long time, you just don't know me. And then he's like, I think he says, like, because I don't have any friends, and looks at Tom. And then you find out that his last bucket list mission, I think you noticed that before, that he wants a friend, because he's always wanted friends. The little girl, which is Pretzel Lady's and Tom's niece, sees that he's got like these holes in his shoes and they're really rugged looking shoes. And she just whips out these like Puma kicks, which we all know are like super rare. And somehow this little girl just like has them just there in his size. What? Like, did she just run upstairs and start like sewing and like creating this shoe? Is she like the whiz behind all like these amazing shoes that they created? This is insane. And just like, here you go. Here's some shoes for ya. And Sonic's got his shoes. His original kicks, which is pretty cool. And so they figure out that they need to get these rings. So they hop on top of the building, and they've got to figure out how to actually get up on top. And so, Tom's like, well, I'm an officer, so I can get up on top, because, you know, someone's gonna jump. So he's gonna make that story up, and he goes up to the receptionist and he's just like, look, I need to get up on top of there, someone's gonna jump, and I'm a police officer. And the lady's like, why'd you come all the way from Green Hill to jump, to rescue someone? And they're like, yeah, good point. And then the lady's like, okay, whatever, which is very illegal. I would not let someone up like that. That's just, yeah, nah, that wouldn't work. Not in real life. So he goes up and he gets his rings, and then Eggman turns up and he's just like, you know what the great thing about being a mastermind is? I can predict everything, every move. And then Sonic's like, oh, really? And then he's like, he's got all these drones like ready to shoot Sonic. And then Sonic pushes Pretzel Lady and Tom off the building. And then Eggman's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And then like it's slow-mo and he's like, you know, beating up all these drones and like playing the drums on the drones. And then we find out that Eggman can use Sonic's power through his quill. And then he starts going super speed. And then Sonic just grabs a ring and teleports Tom and Pretzel Lady to Green Hill. And okay, this is what I don't understand. He transports them to Green Hill, and at the speed they're going from the building, they almost hit the bottom. They somehow go into a different, like they go into like a horizontal position through this portal, and then they fall into a haystack. Yeah, they would be dead. They would die. It wouldn't matter how cushy that haystack is. They would have died. You understanding that this is a very tall building, and at the speed they're going, hitting anything at that speed, they would just die. So that it wouldn't matter. They would have been dead. Done. Dead. All right, I've already said that. I'm reading through my notes at the moment. So that happens. And then it cuts back to, you know, Eggman chasing Sonic around. And obviously he's got the same speed. And Sonic uses a bunch of moves from the old games. And it was amazing seeing all the awesome moves he's able to use to get away from Eggman. It's a bit of a shame that, you know, they're not fighting each other, but obviously Eggman's got the upper hand in this situation and keeps blasting at Sonic. And they're running through like different countries. Like there's the Great Wall of China, there's the pyramid. Sonic creates a sand tornado and around Eggman. And just as he's about to use a portal to go to Green Hill, he gets hit by a super laser from Eggman, just as he goes through the portal, and it goes to the Green Hill, town of Green Hill, right in the center of the town. And then you see Eggman's egg jet like slowly go through the portal, and then it's just about to blast Sonic, and then our amazing man. Okay, so Tom and Pretzel Lady come in and they're like, don't hurt him. And then Everyone in the town's like, yeah, you gotta hurt, you wanna hurt him? You have to go through us. Because they figure out that Sonic is real, because everyone was like, oh, he's just a myth. From the crazy guy. Crazy Carl, our favorite guy from this film, Crazy Carl, the amazing man himself, comes through with a flipping chainsaw. And he's like, this guy's so crazy. He's coming through with a chainsaw. He's just like, yeah, you want to go through it? You got to go through it. And he's like starting this chainsaw up and he's just like revving this thing. And I'm like, man, Crazy Carl, you are the best thing ever. You go up to, you destroying Robotnik. You awesome, amazing man. Oh, Crazy Carl's the best thing ever in this film. Again, I want to see an adaption, and then his weapon's going to be his chainsaw. so we cut to you know, he starts a chainsaw. He starts the chainsaw, and then people are like, yeah, let's take this away from you. Let's say one of the cops is like, well, we'll take that. He's like, oh, okay. And then Ben and Pretzel later are like, look, you can't hurt him. And Eggman's like, why are you protecting this guy? He's just an alien. He's just a hedgehog. He means nothing to you. And he's like, no, you're wrong, because we're friends. And as soon as Ben says friends, I think that's how he says, I can't remember. Sonic eye just like opens, like crazy opens. And then Sonic turns into this blue thunder and just absolutely like, he just stands up and he's like got thunder. And it was like, Thor was crossed with Supersonic, that's what it would look like. And then he goes up to Eggman, he just starts destroying Eggman with his thundery super speed, and he's like turned into like this meddy, like half Supersonic. Then Sonic's again, you know, failing and almost dying because of Eggman, and then Tom throws a warp thingy behind him, and then Sonic sends Eggman, destroys, like does a homing attack, and we see homing attack for the first time, and destroys his Eggmobile thingy, and then Eggman falls out of his ship, and then falls through the portal into the Mushroom Zone where Sonic was originally supposed to go. Mushroom Hill, I think it is. Yeah, I think that was a reference to Mushroom Hill. And then couldn't get out because the portal closes. And then that was it for Robotnik. That is it. That is his story. And then it cuts to the next scene, which is Piano Green Hill. We get a beautiful piece of Piano Green Hill. We find out that Tom is staying with Pretzel Lady in Green Hill, and we get a beautiful piece, which was really nice to hear. We see Sonic and he gets back to Tom's place, and he's just like, oh, okay, you know, we had fun for the day, but you know, I gotta head home now, I guess. And Tom's like, where are you going? He's like, back to my barrow. And then Tom's like, no, we got something to show you. And he opens the attic. And I was like, oh boy, Tom, that's a bit harsh, putting the poor Sonic in an attic. And then he opens it. And it was just like the barrow. Tom collected, somehow found the barrow and collected all of Sonic's stuff and placed it just like it was in the barrow. And Sonic goes up. Sonic goes up and starts flossing. And I can't stress this enough, but he flosses too many damn times in this movie. I was going to say stupid movie. It was a really good movie. But in this movie, he flosses way too much. Sonic, please stop flossing. Flossing is dead. You don't need to do it. You don't need to floss. Flossing is for idiots. Don't floss. It's bad. It's wrong. Don't do this to yourself, Sonic. You're a good movie. You don't need that. So, yeah. So Sonic's really happy. They're all happy. And it pans out. And that's it. That's the movie. That's the movie right there. Yeah. Yep. That was it. Yeah. That was Sonic the Hedgehog. Or was it? No. So it cuts out and then it cuts back in. It cuts back in. And then we see someone shaving their head. And then as soon as I saw them shaving their head, I'm like, oh yeah. Here we go. The real Eggman. The Eggman himself. And Okay. I'll get there. So we see him shaving his head and now he's bald and then he's still stuck in Mushroom Hill. He has a crazy mustache going on. He's got his glasses on. He's got his goggles on. No, he only had the goggles on, but he uses them as his glasses and he's trying to get out of this place. And he's like, you know, I'm going to get out of this place. And he calls himself Eggman. He calls himself Eggman. He is Eggman. So he goes so crazy because he's by himself and he's so persistent to get back at Sonic that he starts calling himself Eggman. And I was like, oh my goodness. Yes. Yes. And he's got the grunt of Eggman too. Jim Carrey adapted the grunt that Eggman has. And I was amazed. I was amazed. He's got the red uniform on. He's got the crazy mustache. He's got the bald hair and bald head and he's got the grunt of the voice. And I'm like, oh my goodness, if I don't see a sequel and he's not in, I'm going to be so ticked off because this is Eggman. Yes, this was amazing. The transformation of Robotnik to Eggman. Jim Carrey did an amazing job. Jim Carrey did a beautiful job at this movie. I was really happy. I was so happy to see it all go down. It was amazing. And then we get the credits. And then we get that song by Wiz Khalifa that I'm gonna be honest, guys. I'm not a big fan of it. I reckon Crush 40 should have done the song. Enough of this hip-hop. You know, I love hip-hop. I really do like hip-hop. Yep. But because it's Sonic, Sonic's not... Apart from Pumpkin Hill... Sonic's not hip-hop. Yeah, Sonic doesn't do hip-hop. Sonic's all about Crush 40, you know, last song. That's what it's all about. And it wasn't there. And I was a little bit upset about that. That's what should have happened. Jun Seno, I think, is the guitarist. And I can't remember who's the singer of Crush 40, but... Yeah, that's what should have happened. Yep. We see different scenes from the movie. In the original 16-bit Sonic classic art of the movie being played through and, you know, the songs playing. And then I'm so glad I didn't walk away because we have one more scene. And this scene is like, imagine like this beautiful... Imagine like a beautiful sundae or like a ice cream and then you got the topping. You got a couple of little peanut pieces on there. You got, I don't know if you like candy. You guys call it candy. I call it lollies. You know, a little bit of lollies or candy on top. And then every single ice cream you ever make that looks exactly like this ice cream deserves a cherry on top. And you know what this cherry represents? Perfection. Perfection in the industry, perfection in this movie, perfection. And you know what the perfection of this movie is? It's Crazy Carl. But we're not talking about Crazy Carl right now. No. We're not talking about Crazy Carl. We're talking about this last scene. And this threw me off because I had no idea this was coming. We see the forest and I was like, okay, what could this be? What is happening? We've already seen what we wanted. What is going to go down? what is this? Is this like going to be like a sequel thing? Well, it could have been, but we see a pan of the forest and it's looking beautiful. And then we see this rock and it starts swirling with wind. And I'm like, uh-oh, Eggman's back. He's found his way back. Uh-oh. And then a portal comes through. And who jumps through this portal? It's Tails Miles Prower. In his original voice from the show. And not the original voice, the newer voice, because he sounded like a little girl in the old one. But the newer voice. And he looks so cute. This guy's like so cute. He's holding his little yellow device that we see in like Sonic Unleashed and Sonic Lost World and a bunch of little Sonic games. And then he's like, I gotta find him. I can track him here. And he's like, I will find you. And he starts like flying around and he's like flies off and he looks amazing. He's like this cute little fox. And I was like, I almost died. I'm like, Tails. Oh my gosh, it's Tails. Oh my goodness. They just finished this movie in the best way possible. They showed us a Knuckles tribe. Yes, it wasn't Knuckles, but they showed him. He could have been Knuckles. You don't know. It could have been, but you have no idea. And then we see Eggman, and he's finally Eggman. He's not Robotnik anymore. He's Eggman. And then we see Sonic, and we already know what Sonic looks like, but we know Sonic looks cool. And then we see Tails. Oh my goodness. That was it. That's it. That is the movie. Hands down. I'm recording this like a week after. This movie's already beaten Detective Pikachu by heaps. This movie's already beaten Detective Pikachu by a lot. It's done an amazing job to push through this far. I'm really happy to see the amazing reviews. It's got 95% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes and Tomatoes for you Americans. This is a beautiful movie. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy it's turned out the way it is. And then I've got one last note that says Sonic Memes the Movie, because this movie was so funny. It was a beautiful mixture of emotion. There was a lot of different Easter eggs in this movie that I loved. And they finished this movie off beautifully. The amazing thing is that they have listened when they haven't listened for such a long time. And for them to get to this point is amazing. They've done such a beautiful job to be able to get to this point from the ground. Like I've always said, when you can't dig, or when you've fallen so far down the hole, the only way is up. And they didn't just climb up. They got a rocket booster and they flew up to the top, because this is hopefully the new Sonic. They've already announced that they're doing monthly, on the 20th of every month, they're going to be releasing new news for anything Sonic related. This is the year of Sonic. Sonic 2020 is happening, and I can't be more proud of the Blue Blur, because he shines in this movie, and along with everyone else, Eggman shines. This whole movie was great. I also felt like the characters who were the main characters, but not in the actual Sonic universe, weren't useless. I think, you know, they had stakes in this movie. They had a reason in this movie as well to be around. They weren't just standing around. Like, you know, they had a reason. Pretzel Lady, obviously, she didn't really have a lot to do in this movie, but she wasn't so... I wouldn't cast her as a main character because she wasn't like always around. But Tom really was only Tom and Eggman. Tom and Eggman were really the ones that were that were the main characters. So it was good. I loved it. I would rate this movie a 10. I'm going to rate this movie a 10 because this was a beautiful piece of art. And I enjoyed it. And you know, I'm going to go see it again, this week. I'm going to go see it because I want to see it again. So that's the end of this episode. I'm hoping that I'll be able to get it out as soon as I can. I'll just need to edit it and, stuff like that. I had a lot of fun watching this movie and doing this podcast episode. It's been really good. Make sure that you follow me on Twitter at, I think it's Trainer T now. I don't know if I've changed it. So let me have a look. Trainer Torisu, Torisu. Go check me out on Twitter where you can get updates and we can talk if you have any ideas. If you want to do a I've got some news that I'll share in a second, but if you got any ideas, then shoot me a message. And then I've also, you know, I've rate me on iTunes, Spotify, on Anchor as well. Player FM, I'm on everything. YouTube, check me out on YouTube. I will be, I got some exciting news that I'll share. I'm doing a bunch of episodes with a few YouTubers very soon, and I can't wait. A couple of YouTubers will be jumping in and helping me out with a few episodes. And now, if you have any games or movies or TV shows that are related to Nintendo, feel free to message me and we will organize an episode where I will pretty much like play the game or watch the movie or watch the TV show if it's not like 1,000 seasons. and I will, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. We can review it together. We can talk about different parts. I'll give my honest opinion of, like I did in this episode, of, you know, the content. And it'd be really good. So if you're interested, feel free to contact me and we can organize that. But without further ado, I think I'm going to sign off in a minute. What was I gonna say? Sorry, my head's like, I've had a day off today. I've been looking after the kids, so I thought I'll just have this day where I can sort of, try and talk about as much as I can. I will be finishing, Pokemon Oras hopefully today, if not in the next, week. And then I will try and, get, all my notes together for this. It's really hard, to do games. It's really difficult. Like, there's so much to games when it comes to notes. And I'm like, man, I've only got like 3 hours. How am I going to do this? So I have to like try and put it together to like cram it down for enough time. So I will be doing that. once I've done that, I've got my next episode, which will be a... which will have someone who will be a guest on the show, and I can't wait for that. It's going to be very interesting to have that. That's about it really. When it comes to all that, I can't think of anything else. That's pretty much it I can think of. I'm just trying to think, is there anything else that I needed to talk about? Because it's been quite a while since I did the last podcast. Any news relations? No, I can't really think of... Oh, Pokemon Home came out, but, you know, that's... Yeah. I was actually happy to transfer all my legendary Pokemon from my old games over to Home, and that was pretty sweet. I have like 6 Jirachis and that I've collected over different events through the years, and I was pretty happy with that. But I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for watching, and my name is Trainer T, and this is Tendo Pop. I'll see you in the next episode. See you guys.